Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
The devil hates this verse. But this message that I'm talking to you about for just a few moments here can be life-changing for somebody in this room. I believe that when you embrace what I've been talking about on Wednesday nights, it very well can change your life, to become a praiser and to understand the supernatural power of praise. But this particular verse is an amazing verse, and there's probably no verse in the Bible that the devil hates more than this verse, because he is the engineer of falling. And he assumes when you fall, it is fatal. That is his plan. Hell is the architect of falling. Jesus chronicles in Luke 10:18 the fall of Satan himself. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Satan orchestrated man's fall in the Garden of Eden. Satan's favorite TV commercial is the old woman saying, help, I've fallen, I can't get up. Because that's exactly what he desires for everybody, that we would fall and never get up again. And then Satan has to witness people that he thought he had destroyed, that have fallen, that come back. And they come back again and again. Much like the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we not only rise from our fallings, but we rise stronger than we were when we fell. The Proverbs were written by Solomon. The text that I've read to you was written by Solomon. And I originally thought that this proverb was autobiographical. As I study the context of this verse and survey the cast of characters in this chapter, I've come to the conclusion that it's probably not so much his autobiography as it is his observation, because Solomon is believed to be the wisest man that ever lived outside of Christ. Brilliant man. But not only was he brilliant, he was also a tremendous student of human nature, and he watched people. And so when he wrote this text, it could be that it was just an observation of not just a person, but someone very near to him and dear to him, his own father. His wisdom came from God, but he learned from these experiences, and he learned from his father to do things that David could not do as great as he was. This one verse scenario perfectly fits the life of the psalmist David. David, the prince among men, the mighty king, the man after God's own heart, does not have a perfect record. He had his ups and downs. He took his shares of falls. It was the David that shared his testimony of extremes, but assured us that God was ever present, no matter what your position was, when he said, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. But if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there also. May I take the liberty of exaggerating the text a bit, because that's exactly what Jesus Christ came to do, was exaggerate the mercy of God. When Peter incredulously questioned the mercy of forgiveness to the seventh power, Jesus took it to a new orbit. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, we find this discussion. Then came Peter to him, that is to Jesus, and said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother that sins against me? How much should I forgive him? Seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Not 70, but 70 times seven. 490 times you must forgive your brother. That's pretty much fills up the day, doesn't it? To forgive somebody 490 times. But it's not only that, 490 times you forgive somebody, and then 490 times you're forgiven. That adds up quite a bit, 980 times. Doesn't leave us much time to be judgmental or condemning or to stay down when you fall. Satan's real tactic to make you fall, and secondly, is to condemn you for falling, that you won't get up. In fact, the Bible teaches us that falling is not a unique experience to you. For all have sinned, it says in the New King James Version, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's apply this to David's life. Better yet, let's apply it to our life. David fell, and he fell often. David fell mentally. My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? David fell mentally. He fell into depression. Depression is one of the greatest tricks of the devil, is to depress you. Because when you're depressed, you're immobilized. You can't be what God called you to be, and you can't do what God called you to do when you're depressed. Number one, David fell mentally in depression. Number two, David fell morally. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, who became pregnant in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Number three, David fell criminally. David arranged the death of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. Not only did he have adultery with a man's wife, then he arranged for his death. This was quite a guy. David fell as a father. Totally failed as a father. He fell as a father. David failed to discipline his sons. His sons were in total anarchy. His son Amnon committed the sin of rape and incest, and David didn't do a thing about it. And that son was murdered by his other son, Absalom. David fell in rebellion. He did that by ignoring Joab's advice when he said, God doesn't want you to number Israel. Because if you number Israel, you're going to look at the number and say, by our own hand, by our own number, by the sheer numbers, we have been victorious over our enemy, rather than realizing that it is God's grace and God's spirit that saved you. Sometimes we're all guilty of that. Number six, David fell spiritually. To save his people from the judgment of a daily plague, David said, let me offer a sacrifice of myself and to relinquish, let go of God's covenant. That my throne will endure forever. He fell spiritually because he tried to submit his own good works in the place of God's grace. And number seven, David fell to envy. The Bible said, he said in Psalm 73, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. How did David's faith cause him to rise from these seven falls? And these are just seven. There are others. From his numerous falls, though he fell, he continually renewed his faith. That's amazing that this man that fell so often could be such a hallmark, such an illustration, such an emblematic pattern for us to look to. But he is. His faith was based, number one, on the goodness of God. When he was mentally depressed, he said this in the very shadow of death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's what depression is the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. When he fell morally and was just laying there, and the devil condemned him and said, you'll never get up. David did get up from his moral failure. He said, if I can just make it to the fountain. In that day, the Bible said in Zechariah 13:1, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to come to the conclusion that aspire as we will for greatness and perfection, we never quite make it. But the great thing is that when we fall, we do not lie there. There are people all over this building that reflect time and time again, and wish they had not. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to spend time reflecting on your falling rather than reflecting on your getting up. You cannot be prisoner of the mistakes that you've made. You've got to be a worshiper of the grace that God has given you that causes you to get up. Jesus Christ, when he got out of that tomb, not only brought himself out, but he brought every one of us out with him. Because his acts, the Bible said, slain from the foundation of the world, his acts were retrospective. They were in the past, they were in the present, and they were in the future. That's the reason why we are worshipers of Jesus Christ. Because if we did not know him, we would still be laying in the terrible abyss of our first falling. We would have never got up again. But the truth is that many of us have fallen many, many times, but we simply do not lay there. We are much like David. We said, we can get back up again. If I can just make it to the fountain, for praise God, not only occasionally but almost daily, I find myself at the fountain of God. It's not a fountain just filled with water, but it's filled with the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. And His blood washes me and makes me white as snow. Number three, criminally, David fell, and he fell terribly. But he broke man's law. But he said, if I can just make it to the city of refuge. He said it this way, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the time of trouble. That's a reflection on the cities of refuge in the Old Testament. And the cities of refuge, the seven of them, were a place where when you were guilty, you could run to that city. And if you got inside the city limits, the law could not touch you. It was a city of refuge. We have all fallen. Some of us have even fallen criminally, but God is able to save us to the uttermost. God is able to say, no matter what your fall is, the devil is a liar when he tells you that you're worse than somebody else. Your mistake is worse than somebody else. Have you ever been tempted? Have you ever had lust? One of the people that I revered, he just seemed like such a godly, holy, clean person, was Dr. Billy Graham. I heard something that devastated me from his own lips. Dr. Graham said, when I was in Paris, he said, my wife was not with me, and the most beautiful women in the world are in Paris. And he said, lust overcame me in Paris so badly that I'd go stand in a cold shower. I heard that, and I was devastated that he was so much like the rest of us. He was just flesh and blood. Everyone falls. Everyone has the temptation to fall. But praise God, we have a God of resurrection. I don't care what your past is today. Friend, if you can run to God, God will pick you up and bring you out of that situation and say, I claim you for my own. I've shared with you many times. I share it with you again this morning about the great event that happened in the old theater building when we were having that great altar service, and they invited me to pray with a man that was kneeling there, a Hispanic man. And I went over to pray with him, and as I prayed with him, he was very broken and tears were flowing. And I walked away after a short prayer, and they said, he wants you to pray with him again. And he said, sir, he said, I was in Vietnam, and I killed some people in Vietnam. Is there any way that God could forgive me for that? And I assured him that God would forgive him of that, even though he was under the service of his country trying to defeat communism and declare freedom for people in Vietnam, and God would do that. And so I walked away after making that expression to him, and after a while he called me back and he said, can you pray with me again? He said, what if I kill somebody here in San Antonio? Can God forgive me? And I said, certainly, if you accidentally killed somebody or maybe you took their life in a car accident or whatever. And I walked away, and he came back, said, would you come back? And I went back over to pray with him, and he said, what if I kill more than one person here in San Antonio? He said, can God forgive me? And I said, well, God certainly can. And I went away, and they called me back, and he said, sir, let me just be honest. I'm a hitman. That's what I do for a living. I kill people. I've killed lots of people. Can God forgive me? The tears rolled down his face. He sought God, and there at that altar, the mercy of God came to him. And later in a nightclub we were closing down, I watched this man as a little Pentecostal woman with her hair stacked high, as those Pentecostals like to do. She began to witness to him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she quoted him one verse, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When she quoted that verse, I've never seen this before, it was like somebody hit him right between the eyes with a hammer. His eyes rolled back in his head, and before we could catch him, he fell like a dead man on the floor of that nightclub. And then all of a sudden, out of that hitman came this beautiful river. He began to speak in that holy language. His countenance went from a hardened criminal to an angelic love, and a big smile came upon his face. And he lived for God every day after that. And I went to the courtroom with him, and they could not find one witness against him. And he said, "Do I have to confess to the court what I've done?" I said, "Not if you've confessed it to Jesus. There are people in this building that have fallen. You don't have to confess your sins to the priest down the road. You don't have to confess your sins to Brandon. You don't have to confess your sins to Steve. If you will simply call Jesus Christ, no matter how bad you've fallen, no matter how hard you've fallen, no matter how terribly you've fallen, no matter how long you've been lying there, there is a God that is in this building today, and His message is to you. I forgive you of every mistake. I forgive you of every sin. I forgive you of every fallen. If you would stand up right now and rise up in my grace, I will empower you to go forward where the sins of your past will have no power over you again. Don't let the devil condemn you for what God has forgiven you of. Don't let the devil condemn you for the sin that has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil condemn you for things that were nailed to the cross. Don't let the devil condemn you with things that were buried in Christ's tomb. Rise up today and say, praise God, I might have fallen, but I'll never stay down. My God is able to resurrect me. And David failed and fell as a father. He simply did not do a good job raising his family. But it's more than ironic that six times in the book of Matthew alone, and numerous times in the entire Bible, that this man David, that felt like a failure as a father and fell as a father, is called the son of Jesus, is called the son of David. Jesus called him father. I don't care how you feel like you failed. If you feel like you failed your family, just do not let the devil condemn you, because God does not want you to wallow in the despair of failure and falling in the past. God wants you to rise up today and make today the first day of a brand new resurrected life. Do not despair about the past. Do not despair about the mistakes of what have been. Realize that God is a God of restoration, that God is a God of rising again. God is a God of making you live life. God is a God that said, I'll make up your past. And God is in this room today because there's somebody that every day of your life you worry, you concern yourself, you grovel in the despair of fallings of times past when God said, I don't want you to do that. You are righteous only by my blood. You have fallen maybe seven times or more. Maybe it's 70 times seven you've fallen. But God said, rise up, rise up, rise up. One of the glories of pastoring in one place for 45 years, you see people that make starts for the Lord, and they mess up again, and they mess up again. But if you stay with them long enough, you see them finally come to the surface, and you're able to rejoice with them. They say, finally, that devil is defeated. That mistake is conquered. That sin is forgotten. That falling is forever behind me, because I am now the living, moving resurrection that Jesus Christ called me to be. The Bible teaches that David rebelled, but he came back from that rebellion and would say in Psalm 20:7, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Remember, he numbered Israel in rebellion and tried to say our strength is in the numerics of our army. But he realized later that some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Have any of us ever been guilty of trusting in our works? Have we ever been guilty of trusting in our money, our accomplishments, our education, to only come back to God and say, I realize that everything that I've accomplished is nothing, but the thing that is great in my life is that the grace of God has enveloped me, and Jesus Christ has gone before me to make the way straight. Jesus Christ has followed me to clean up all the mess, and Jesus Christ is on both sides of me to make sure the enemy and the armies of the enemy cannot destroy me. saying, I will trust in the name of the Lord. I will not rebel against the message of the cross. I will not rebel against the message of repentance. I'll know what it means, that repentance is not a bitter pill to be swallowed, but it's something that I embrace every day, because every day I shout to the Lord, thank God your mercies are new this morning. Every day I start over. Every day I am renewed. Every day everything that is bad about me is buried, and everything that is good is multiplied by the grace of Almighty God. And so I rise up today not to think about where I have failed and the mistakes that I have made, but to rejoice in the God of my salvation and the faith of my future. For God has made my way plain, and God has made my path straight, and God has said, the greatest days are before you, not behind you. So rise up in praise, and realize. In number 7, David realized that he had to rise up spiritually. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on the right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, I've lived long enough to know this one thing, and that is that my entire life is about being in God's presence. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. I have come to the place where I don't judge all the great people, the John MacArthurs that are making their statements about women preachers. That's on John's watch. I don't have to get in that. I don't have to judge Joel Osteen because of his tremendous wealth. I don't have to judge persons that pastor 15 people on folding chairs in a storefront somewhere. All of those are blessed by me, because I can say they were made wonderfully in the hands of God. They're not under my auspices. I didn't create them. They don't serve me. I don't answer for them. So all I can do is bless them. But as for me and my house, I am a praiser of Almighty God, because I know what it is to fall and not have to stay there. I'm so glad that God does not judge me for my sins, that my sins were judged at Calvary. And when the Father looks at me, he looks through the prism of Jesus Christ. And he said, have you considered my servant Steve? It's amazing that he would say with that, I'd like to remind him of all of my fallings, but he'll have none of that. I'm like my friend J.T. Pugh that pastored a great church in Port Arthur that said for years he repented of the same sin. And finally, one day God said, J.T., I'm so tired of that prayer. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember the sin you're referring to. Get off of it. Move on, J.T., move on. Friend, it's time we move on and forget about how many times we've fallen and realize that the Lord is our help in the time of trouble. He does not judge you like people judge you. 490 times a day, he is prepared to say, well done. 490 times a day, he is prepared to take your sin and cast it as far from you as the east is from the west. 490 times a day, he's prepared to reach his hand down and pick you up from a fallen position and exalt you on the very throne of God where you will sit with him. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil's greatest weapon is to cause you to fall and then bring condemnation. But friend, we no longer receive his condemnation, because we have been saved and we have been blessed, and we are no longer living in the throes of envy. David said, my feet well nigh slipped, because I was envious of other people. Do you envy somebody that's more talented than you? Do you envy somebody that's got more money than you? Do you envy somebody that doesn't live for God and still they seem like they're doing right? Well, David said, I did. David was so human. He was like every one of us. But he said, oh, finally. He said, I went to the sanctuary of God and then understood I therein. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason why I come to the house of God. It purges me with the hyssop of God's own blood and blesses me with the faith of God's own mercy. And I don't have to envy anybody. I just say, thank God for who I am. Thank God for who I am. I thank you, Lord, that you made me in your image, that you filled me with your spirit. And when we look at this man that we could judge as terrible called David, what was his epitaph? This was his epitaph in Acts 13, 22. And when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after God's own heart, which will fulfill all my will. Somebody here today that has fallen can become a person after God's own heart and fulfill all the will of God for their life. But the devil doesn't want you to. He wants to drag you back every day. He wants to keep you down every day. But Jesus Christ has given you the authority to rise up and to not admit to your past, but to say, thank God it's all under the blood. As far as God is concerned, I'm a newborn every day. My sins and my fallings of my past will not limit the uprisings of my future. I'm standing strong. I'm speaking loud. I'm praising God with everything I've got. And God has called me to be a man or woman after his own heart. And I am going to fulfill all the will of God in my life. My past cannot wreck my future because God said it cannot. There is faith for the fallen. The devil is a liar. He caused you to fall. It wasn't your fault. It was the devil's fault. And now he wants to blame you, but praise God, you're not lying in the pit. You're not laying fallen prostrate in the pit of failure any longer, but you have risen up. You've become a praiser of the living God. No wonder David said, seven times a day will I praise the Lord. He had a whole lot to praise God for where God had brought him from. Well, I am no different, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a whole lot to praise God for from where he brought me from and where he keeps me from. So I will not be condemned. I decide that I am a child of the living God, that God has resurrected me. I walk in the fullness of his resurrection. I'm an overcomer every day. I'm a powerful individual in the kingdom of God. I have found my self-esteem not in my flesh, but in my new birth. I am strong in Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am an overcomer, washed in the blood, ignited by the flame of his Holy Spirit. I am more than a conqueror. I am a giant in Jesus Christ. The devil is a liar. Not only will I die and go to heaven, but I'll live in heavenly places right now. Not only will I save myself, I will save them that hear me. Not only will I be able to speak life, I will be able to speak resurrection. People that are hopeless, I can give them hope. People that are helpless, I can give them help. People that are in a dead end, I can show them a new way. Jesus Christ has done a work in me. And all over this building, the devil is a liar. The devil is a condemner, but you shouldn't listen to one word of it. Rise up today and say, praise God, look at who I am. And look at where I am. And look where I came from. Look what the Lord has done. He's digged me out of the miry clay. He's put my feet on the rock to stay. I'm a praiser. I'm a worshiper. I'm a disciple of Almighty God. I am the body of Christ. I have the power of Jesus Christ living inside of me. I not only make a difference in my life, I make a difference in my spouse's life. I make a difference in my family's life. I make a difference in my church. I make a difference in my community. I make a difference on my job. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. You say, hey, the devil's been talking to me about my past. I rebuke him in Jesus' name and I talk to him about his past. And then I talk to him about his future. And both of them are bad. The devil's past is bad and his future is worse. But my past might be bad, but I don't remember it. But oh, my future is great. My future is great. I've already been changed. I'm not what I was. I'm not everything I'm going to be, but I'm not what I was. Look at the change that's happened in me. That's the reason why I sing the Lord's song. That's the reason why I shout His praise. That's the reason why I glorify Him. That's the reason why I smile. That's the reason why I laugh. That's the reason why I express kindness. The Lord has done a work in me. So don't talk to me about my past, for it's over and done with. It has no power over me. But let me talk to you about my future. I'm doing mighty well, thank you. I'm well on my way, and it's getting better every day. I'm getting stronger every day. I'm getting more like Jesus every day. It doth not yet appear what I shall be. My future is not yet in focus, but it's going to be greater than my present because God is on my side. And if the Lord be for me, who can be against me? If the angels of God surround me, the demons can't get to me. If Jesus Christ is inside of me, there's no room for the devil. Hey, the Lord has done something for me. Would you give God a great praise in this house today? I have an altar call today, maybe not for everybody, but for somebody that the devil has said, you have fallen. I've tried to go through very quickly and enunciate the great falls of David, one of the greatest men that ever lived, and to show you that you don't have a sin or a mistake that can erase your future in God. If you will simply say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, you can start today. And not only should you not bring up your past, you ought to rebuke other people that bring up your past. Oh, that was the old man. There's a new man walking in these shoes. There's a new man walking in these shoes. I beseech somebody today in this building that feels condemnation, and the devil whispers to you every day about the mistake you made in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your finance, your spiritual mistakes you've made, and the devil just keeps bringing it up. I appeal to you today to literally get out of your pew and walk down this aisle right now and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I receive this message. There is faith for the fallen. I don't care about anything where I have failed. God.